May the Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." "Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of God is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's start with this question from Jesus after presenting these parables. Do you understand all these things? Do you understand what Jesus is saying? Do you understand? What is Jesus asking? If you understand what Jesus is saying, what is he asking? Do you understand? When Jesus finishes speaking to his disciples, I'm sure there were blank faces. I'm sure there were curious faces. I'm sure there were faces that looked anxious. And Jesus was imagining what was going on in their minds. Do you understand all these things? The cost of discipleship in today's society. The cost of following Jesus, the cost of giving up something for this treasure. Do we understand this? All these things about Jesus, about our faith, about commitment, about followership, about discipleship, about courage, about boldness, about confidence, about commitment. Do we really understand these things? Seeking the treasures. The treasure, the priceless treasure, the kingdom of heaven. And that is the ultimate purpose. That is why we believe, correct? Hello? Why do we believe? Why do we come to church? It's not just to see your friend. It's a big part of it, fellowship. But we come to church because we are seeking heaven. We are seeking that priceless treasure, that ultimate treasure. This man finds this field, and the gospel says he hides it again, goes out of with joy, sells all that he has, and buys that field. Two similar parables. The kingdom of heaven, like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. You know, the milk I don't like is the milk that is called half and half. Half and half, right? Half and half. There is no half and half in believing. There's no half and half in following Jesus. Don't mind the milk. I like that milk. I like drinking milk. But I'm trying to bring it to our faith. The context is our faith. No half measure. Sell everything, everything you have, and possess this field. I was going through some Google search to bring into perspective this message. And this young man posted this. He said, "I made a huge, terrifying, life-changing leap of faith today in order to follow God's will for my life. Unfortunately, I don't know what that calling is yet. I am desperately trying to have faith that God will reveal my next step when the time is right. In the meantime, could you point me towards some saints who gave up their own plans in order to submit to the will of God? I need all the intercession I can get at this point." And here is a comment. Someone responded to this. He said, "Oh boy, I feel this one. As an agnostic, or probably an atheist, I sold almost everything I owned of value and quit my job to walk the Camino. I am presently earning half of what I was before, also working for a Catholic nonprofit. And my life is not what most people would consider a success. Yet, on the other hand, I have never known such peace, thanks to God. It may take some time for the details of your vocation to become clear. I was talking to a priest about feeling lost, and he reminded me that our number one goal always needs to be sainthood, nothing less." This is someone who said he's been an agnostic and atheist. My friends, this morning we listened to these words, and sometimes we are wondering what exactly is this invitation all about. St. Paul says in the second reading of today, "We know that all things work for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." All things work for good to those who love God. In the immediate, things may be rough, things may be tough, but the thing with humanity is that we seem to stay in the immediate more. We seem to stay in the now more. And that is why pains, fears, anxieties get a lot of us. But if we think about Jesus and what Jesus is inviting us to, then we understand the value and the treasure that God is putting out before us. You pray every time. In the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come," right? Your kingdom come. And this is the kingdom that we are searching for. And God has given us this treasure. This treasure in Christ Jesus, every day. Great opportunity. This treasure we celebrate in the sacraments every time we gather is a great opportunity. But my question is, what have you given up for the sake of this treasure? And what does it look like to give up something for the sake of this treasure? The life of the saints can always be an inspiration. And I was looking at St. Francis of Assisi once again in relation to this. St. Francis was one of those saints who was born into a wealthy Italian family. The father was a merchant, a businessman, very successful. St. Francis found himself amidst this wealth and was enjoying it, having life, social life, fun, party, and all that. But When he discovered this treasure, everything else did not make sense to him anymore. Just the encounter with a leper. St. Francis was said to have abhorred lepers. But that encounter with a leper changed his life. And when he encountered that leper, he knew there and then that it was Jesus that he encountered. Go and read the life of St. Francis. He started going into churches to build churches and to help, to the point that he sold his father's horse to build a church. And he thought it would be fun for his dad. It was not funny. It was not fun. The dad accused him of theft and took him even to the magistrate court. It was then that the church defended St. Francis. And he's like, oh, if my father could treat me this way, and this father that I hear about could care for me, then that is the real father. For me, I think St. Francis is sanguine. But you feel the love of God that made him and pushed him to understand what value that God is putting before him. How can you understand this treasure? How can you appreciate this treasure? How can you go after this treasure? Solomon, the first reading of today, presents a typical example. God placed before Solomon choices, richness, success over your enemy, to have power, authority, possess material things, everything. Solomon asked only for one thing. And Solomon said, Lord, give me an understanding heart to know your will, to know what is right, to choose what is right from what is wrong. Give me an understanding heart to follow you, to commit to you as I lead these people that you have given in my charge. And God said, Solomon, because you have not asked for all these material things, you have not asked for all these material things, I will bless you with wisdom. And I will give you these other things as well. Does something strike you here? The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Christ says, seek you first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. Seek you first the kingdom of heaven, its righteousness. So when you seek heaven, you lose nothing. Rather, you gain everything. When you seek Christ, you lose nothing. Rather, you gain everything. When you seek the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, of justice, you lose nothing. Rather, you gain everything. And that is what Christ is placing before us this morning. As I think about it, I think about myself. I think about priests, for example. Just imagine. Imagine priests, right? Why would we be priests? Why would we forgo marriage, forgo children, having our own immediate children? I'm the first son of my dad and my mom, for example, and typically coming from an African society, there's the expectation that I would have children who would have succession for my father's lineage. That is typical. But not just from the African perspective. Think about, when you think about Father Austin, think about Father Luke. What is it that is the attraction for us to leave family, to leave children, to leave wives, and come into this ministry? Think about the joy. We had ordination on June 24th here in this archdiocese, and people came from everywhere, so happy. These are men in the strict sense who have lost what the world would appreciate, what the world would celebrate. Yet the world gathered for their sake. What is happening there? It is because Christ is that priceless treasure. Because Christ is that kingdom that when you find it, you go out in joy. You celebrate that love. You celebrate that connection. When you find Christ, your life is not the same. When you find Christ, your connections are not the same. When you find Christ, your inspirations and desires are not the same. When you find Christ, Your motivations are not the same. When you find Christ, you find everything. You find everything. When you find Him, you find everything. That is the treasure that He's placing before each and every one of us. Just 2 days ago, I celebrated my birthday. And I mean, these things offer you materials for reflection. So that morning, I'm like, how do I begin this day to thank God? Okay, I need to do an adoration. I said, let me do a holy hour. But I'm sharing this story to let you know what this treasure is. So by the time I said, I want to do a holy hour and I want a private holy hour with Jesus, my friends, I came in here and exposed the Blessed Sacrament. And I'm like, before Jesus, I felt a little bit scared and afraid. I said, can you imagine that you give me this privilege to come to the Blessed Sacrament, to open the Blessed Sacrament, bring Jesus out and keep Jesus on the altar and worship Jesus and adore Jesus, that I can hold you in my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, the Blessed Eucharist, right? I've given up everything, but Jesus has given Himself to me. That is what He has done. That's His treasure that He is giving to us. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy. But Jesus says, all things work unto good to those who fear Him. So my friends, I want to remind you, today's world seems to feel like everything is all about material possession, about money, about cars, about clothing, about dancing, about... It's not everything. At the end of it, you are still hungry, you are still thirsty, you are still longing, you are still searching. But the only treasure that you can find, and that treasure does not expire, is treasure of Christ. Archbishop Fulton Sheen wrote a book some time ago with the title, Treasure in Clay. Treasure in Clay. My dear friends, Jesus is offering Himself to you. What are you offering up in return? And how do you offer that up? The sacraments, the confession, the Blessed Eucharist. What are you offering up? What are you giving up to get this particular treasure? On Sunday, on weekdays, what are you offering up for Jesus? Think about that, and think about how much Jesus is inviting you. So I end again with that question that Jesus started at the beginning. Do we really understand all this? Do we understand what Jesus is inviting us? Do we understand the profundity of God's love for us? If we do, then let us with joy give up the things that distract us for the sake of this treasure in Christ Jesus. Amen.